Quick look at an education story. In elementary and secondary school, administrators have been experimenting with all-boy and all-girl academies with hope that single-sex education would increase educational performance. But there's a new article in Science Magazine that says the science behind single-sex education in those grades simply isn't there. We're joined now by the co-author of a study. Dr. Lise Elliott is a neuroscience professor at Rosalind Franklin University. And Lise, I've got three girls, two of them teenagers, and with the distractions of adolescence, it might sound appealing to send them to an all-girls school. You're saying that's a bad idea?
Well, I'm not saying that every all-girls or all-boys school is bad. What we're concerned about is the gender segregation that's taking place in public schools that has really taken off since 2006, when the Department of Education essentially relaxed Title IX and made it permissible now to separate boys and girls for academic classes like English and math. And there's been a lot of research over decades that find very marginal to no difference in academic performance with single sex. Even though a lot of people believe it's better, it's not truly better once you correct for differences in the child's achievement, family income, quality of the school, and all that.
And the folksy reason for this has nothing to do with science. First of all, why do people feel better if they engage in this segregation by subject? And where does the science say it's a bad thing?
Well, parents often are attracted to single-sex education. They presume it'll keep their child more focused on academics. The girls won't be flirting and the boys won't be showing off and so on. The second thing is that there really isn't any evidence for this claim of social distraction. But what kids lose out is that gender segregation has effects on our social psychology. It affects the way we think about males and females, and it reinforces this notion that males and females are fundamentally different. They can't even learn together.
But is it dangerous, in a sense, that this sort of aggregation can produce deficits that can't be recovered after the segregated school environment ends?
Well, I think for some students, it may be. And that's the whole issue is, you know, single-sex advocates flat out say they do not believe that single-sex education is beneficial for all students. They claim, but there may be some students who are benefit, and therefore it should be a choice. But we would argue that just presenting the choice sets up in schools an institutional sexism. It essentially says that the differences between boys and girls are deep enough, and the communication between boys and girls is poor enough that students will actually learn academic subjects better when segregated. Well, there's no evidence for that, and it is going to have to undo some behavioral patterns that they're going to need to interact later in life.
And some girls, though, or some boys might need it or never?
Well, that's the claim, is some might, but there's no, in fact, the research that has looked at single-sex schools by some of my colleagues on the science paper, The Pseudoscience of Single-Sex Education, has compared single-sex and co-ed, and it turns out that the qualities that predict success in single-sex schools are the same as the qualities that predict success in co-educational schools. So while people like to think certain children will do better in single-sex, nobody's got a way to identify which children those are. It's a lot of hand-waving.
Dr. Lise Elliott is the co-author of The Pseudoscience of Single-Sex Schooling. She's a professor of neuroscience at Rosalind Franklin University. She also wrote Pink Brain, Blue Brain, How Small Differences Grow into Troublesome Gaps and What We Can Do About It.